welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's come back together. It's actually quite exciting as the church leader to hear you all talking so much. It means God's doing stuff amongst us. Hallelujah. It's probably quite, you'd probably don't almost want to stop now because it's, you know, when you get into that little, that part where you start to share, yeah, I did hear from God. Or, yeah, that really, you start to get sort of built up and encouraged, don't you? Yeah, it's good. You should do this all the time. You can even do it in the week. We have a perfect coffee shop for it, you know. But I'm here in Nehemiah. So the wall was completed. We keep getting there. On the 25th of Yule, in 52 days. In 52 days, they repaired the wall that had been crashed down for 150 years. It was an amazing work. And when all our enemies heard about this, it goes on to say, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Sometimes when you're engaged in something, you can feel like, I've had enough. The enemy's too great. This is too powerful. And you want to run away and hide. You know, you think, I'll just take a few weeks off Sunday mornings. Or something like along those lines. Well, I really need to stop serving in the hub, in the host team. I really need to stop doing the hoovering. You know, whatever it is that you do that makes this place work, you feel like, I just need to hand that down because the enemy's really having a go at me. I just want you to see there this morning that what stops the enemy having a go at you is getting on and doing what God's told you to do. If you want to scare the enemy, be a people who are obedient to God. He won't give up because you look worn out. He won't go away in heart. He won't think, he won't have a moment of compassion. Oh dear, we went a little bit overboard on the spiritual attack there. Look, we've destroyed them. They don't feel like serving the Lord anymore. They'll just jump on and they'll make sure that's where you stay. And I know that sounds a little bit scary, especially if you're in a struggling point at the moment. But as we said last week, if you go through the fiery furnace, it's in the fiery furnace that stuff gets broken off of you. Remember we were looking at Daniel, and we didn't really get to that story that much, but he was the man who put into practice everything he'd got from God and stayed firm to who he was. They even took away his identity in renaming him. But he stuck in his identity that he was one of the chosen people, the Jewish people, the people of God. He never lost that identity. And because of that identity, when he went into the furnace or when he was being fed to lions, in those circumstances, it just tore away or burnt away shackles that were upon him and he came out in greater blessing. And if you're struggling, if you're going through in something, don't hide away. Get the wall finished because you're going to come out with the shackles burnt off of you. All right? This is a work of freedom that's going on in your life, not a work of the enemy. The enemy means it to take you out, but you can take what the enemy tries to do to you and actually come out stronger. And it doesn't have to feel good as well because you know the enemy meant to take you down with that and you come out giving him a bloody nose instead of you coming out and needing the hospital. You know, and I know that's what God is raising up amongst us. People who are like that. People who've got this attitude of, actually, I'm one of the chosen ones. I can deal with this. I can deal better with this than my neighbor because I've got Christ living in me and I am living in Christ. I am different. I can do this in Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, it just becomes a practical thing rather than some spiritual verse that we talk about because we're learning to take hold of it. And that's what they learned here. And the enemy was therefore terrified. The enemies around them were terrified and in fear because the people had completed the work of God. And I tell you now, standing here, that there is quaking in hell this morning because we have been building this wall of the word of God around us to protect the presence of God. And they fear these people that are sat here right now. The demons of hell are scared of you. They're terrified of you because you are in Christ. You are washed clean. You are in the blood of the Lamb, to say that expression. We were talking with the students. I said, sometimes we use these expressions, and if people are new to being Christians, you think, what on earth does it mean to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's like saying, you are soaked with potatoes. you are held up with a divine, eternal spinach of glory. You know, it sounds like it could be something quite interesting, but you have no idea. The last two, by the way, were complete nonsense, as far as I know. You never know what that divine spinach of eternal glory could actually be. So, basically, they've heard from God, build the wall, and they do it. As it says in the scriptures, put into practice, therefore, what you have heard. Because words, if they just hover around in space, they don't do anybody any good. All right, you could hear 1,001 sermons from here, from God Channel, from listening to Premier Radio, whatever. It will make no difference in your life unless you start building it into your life, unless you start putting it into practice. In fact, it can make you worse. How can the Word of God make you worse? Because if you stuff someone with food and there's no outlet, I know it's a bit basic, they're going to be very ill. All right, you will actually get ill. You'll just get fat on it. You'll be like the Dead Sea with just an inlet. So it's a salty, dead sea. There's nothing alive in it like there could be in a fresh body of water because there's no outlet. Water just goes into it. Don't be the Dead Sea. Don't be so fat with no outlet. All right? Let's do the work. And so one of the reasons, and I know it was short, but it was to underscore the point, was to talk with one another, is to remind ourselves, I've heard this and I'm doing it. Or I've heard this and I need to do it. I must do that. Because it's so easy to hear things and just let it pass you by. And it's that putting it into practice. It's that completion of the wall. And so Claire's going to come and speak now because she just sent me some stuff that God had been saying to her. And I thought, that's brilliant. Let's hear her testimony of how God's using what's spoken and then how it's being changed into a renewed life and changed practice.
Have to have this, otherwise I'll talk for ages. I don't want to do that. Months ago, God really challenged me about this and about, actually, he's got something, he's got treasure in every message that I hear, but will I take the time and the effort to go and dig it out and find it, or am I just going to sit and listen to message after message and say, well, that was nice, that was good, and not do anything with it? So I've been really trying to make the effort to do that. And last week, God, when Pastor Paul's speaking about the Daniel and his friends and how their names have been changed to reflect those of false gods, I knew that God has something more for me in that. Do you ever get that? Something's being preached, you know there's more, but you don't know what it is. And that's when we've got to take it away and say, okay, God, what do you want to speak to me? There's more here. Are we going to mine for that bit of treasure and that revelation that he's got for us in that? So this is basically what he spoke to me about. And just looking at, you know, when your name's changed, your identity is threatened. You become insecure, you become lost, you don't know who you are. You become submissive to any voice that you hear. And it just struck me that for Daniel and his friends, they were called by their new names countless times a day. Over and over, they would be hearing their new names. They'd be hearing those false gods spoken over their lives. I guess when they were together, maybe they spoke their real names over each other to remind each other who they were. But in that time, in that period of being called another name, they didn't lose sight of who they were. They didn't lose sight of whose they were, that they were God's. And that was what enabled them to stand, to not find their identity in the names of false gods. So we're talking a little bit about the world and how maybe other people have put labels on. But for me, it was very much, there were names that the enemy tries to put on me, and he shouts very loudly. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but he's quite noisy about it. And I was just reminded of the names that he speaks. He speaks names of failure, useless, not enough, and he's very noisy about it. And I did think, actually, that's one of the times that we know that it's the enemy. One, because it doesn't match up with what the Word of God says, but also he shouts it very loudly. And God really spoke to me about how he whispers his truth, because the enemy creates a cacophony of noise, of shouting names, but the Holy Spirit comes and whispers the truth. And he spoke to me about seeking out his voice, seeking out his whisper, because when I quieten my voice to hear the whisper, he doesn't join in the noise. God will not join in the noise of shouting names. He won't shout, you are loved, you are loved. He will quietly whisper it, because he wants us and he wants me to quieten myself to hear that whisper of his voice. And when I do, that truth that whisper will drown out the noise. It will drown out the cacophony of voices and names and the shouting of the enemy. So I think, had Daniel submitted to his new name, they would not have been able to stay faithful. The rest of Daniel, that book, wouldn't have happened if they'd submitted to their new names. But because they submitted only to the names that were there as their true identity, they were able to remain faithful to their walk. And when I submit to the names that the enemy wants to put on me, I can't stay faithful. I can't stay on track. I just can't. But as soon as I listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, of the names that he has put on me, then straight back on track. So that was the challenge God gave me last week, and that's what I'm trying to walk out at the moment. So yeah, just encourage you really to find what is the treasure that God's mining, wants you to mine out of the message that you hear.
Praise God. It's just that reminder that everything that comes from here, not because I'm a superb preacher or anybody else is, but because there is an anointing in this place, that God can take something from here and it does change your life. You know, it can almost become cliche, come to this and it will change your life. But every Sunday, things can happen in our lives that make our lives better, make our lives more effective. And it's often just taking that time. It's taking that time and not letting fear itself creep in. The fear that we can get from the enemy, rather than us making the enemy afraid, we get afraid of the enemy. Because fear steals and robs the blessing, really, of what God wants to do within us. Because we get frightened that we're not good enough, or frightened that we're not capable enough, or frightened that we've misheard. And we've really got to kick fear into touch, because otherwise we would just miss blessing ourselves and blessing for one another. You know, it's a bit like Leslie coming back today. She could have given in to fear and just gone away really, really quietly. It's not that we're, you know, I'm a nasty person or anything like that. But when you haven't been in touch with someone for a while and you're not in communication, even with friends, have you ever noticed how fears can creep in? You know, there's no real basis often for them, but just the fact that there's been no communication, you can get fear creeping in. And so you don't do what you wanted to do even, because of fear, and you missed the blessing. And when we prayed for Leslie earlier, that's one of the reasons we specifically blessed her. Because she didn't give in to fear, and she came, we gave her her blessing, which is it's kind of what her inheritance from being part of the house. And it will make a difference in what she goes and does now. You know, that blessing will go with her. What we spoke over her will change what she's going into. It broke off enemy, and she knows when she's down there that she has a good relationship with all of us, there's nothing wrong, and that we're blessing her. You know, and that's powerful. But she could have said, I don't need to. I haven't been for a while. I'll just slip off. But she didn't. And this is the thing. This is the thing we need to be. It so often seems easy to just let it go. But actually, we need to kick fear out of our lives. But it's a decision. You will always have fears. You will never be a person who doesn't have fear, because courage is what overcomes fears. Courage, fear actually is what lets you know, I am a person of faith. Because something comes against you and you say, no, I know how I feel, but just do it scared. Just do it. Faith is the actual doing it, not how you feel about it. All right? And I know it's easy to say, and then we face the situation, but, you know, let's just do it. Because what happened when the wall was rebuilt here, and forgive me if you've not been part of the services here and you've missed out a lot on what we're talking on Nehemiah, go online, it's all online, and you can catch up over time on what we've been saying. But there's not the time this morning to repeat it. In fact, I've got about another 10 minutes, so this is going to be another miracle. That I am so short. But so they've built the wall. The enemy is frightened. But look what happens next. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and the replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. Tobiah has been someone who has resisted the building of the wall. For many in Judah were under an oath to him, since he was son-in-law to Shechanah, son of Arar, and his son Jehonan had married the daughter of Meshullam. That probably doesn't mean anything to you, but Meshullam, for example, who his son was married to, her father had helped rebuild the wall. So Tobiah is really part of the team. His name means God is good, if you remember. But Tobiah, for whatever reasons, and we don't know what his reasons were, he doesn't like Nehemiah. And he's obviously very critical of Nehemiah's leadership. You know, we need to be so careful when we feel the temptation to be critical of those God has placed in leadership. Even if we can see things that are really, really wrong, because God's anointing is on that person, we need to pray for them, not criticize them. You know, you see a lot of criticism of the Pope. I'm not going to criticize the Pope. That's not my job. Who set me up to judge the Pope? All right, I'll pray for him. I love some of the stuff he says. You know, but some people are almost frightened of him because of what he represents. I don't need to judge that. You know, I don't need to judge the Archbishop. I don't need to judge Martin Dunning, a friend of mine who some of his theology is very different to mine. He believes you can baptize infants. I absolutely think that's wrong. You need to be a believer to be baptized. But we can be friends and we can walk together and we can agree with what we agree with. The world seems to want to divide on the smallest of issues or even big issues. We need to come together. We need to be together. There is power in community. If you look at the history of this nation, it didn't get stronger by splitting up into smaller and smaller groups. Kingdoms came together, and as kingdoms came together, the nation grew in prosperity. So, as a people, we need to be together. But no, this is what happens to Tobiah. He says, moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds. So they're saying your enemy's doing a fantastic job. That's never that encouraging. And then telling him what I said. So they were kind of spying on Nehemiah. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. And this is really important because the wall is built, but there will still be fear. There will still be intimidation. But the way you defend against it is with the very word that you've got. It's the word of God that you defend with, but you may have taken hold of the word of God through what you've heard others say to you, or through what you've heard preaching on a Sunday, or what God said to you through the worship. Maybe the words of one of the songs, really, you know, I'm running home and that part today. Maybe that was really speaking to you. Don't just let it drift away as you leave today. Remember it. Remember it. Say, this is going to be part of me. Yeah, I do run. Yeah, the presence of God is my home. You know? So you have to stand on these words you've got, because there will be discouraging words and fearful words that will come against you. And they might come against you directly, demonically, but more often it's our own thoughts, or as Tobiah, who's actually somebody who's on our side, or should be. But Tobiah wants to take down Nehemiah. It's such a stupid goal, really, for Tobiah to have. Jerusalem has been restored, it's got the walls around it, and Tobiah is prospering in everything he's got, but still he wants Nehemiah out the picture. Somehow, in his heart, the criticism he's had of Nehemiah when he came on the scene has not allowed him to see the good work that has been done even still. And it can be like this when we get an attitude about somebody else. We start to filter everything else we hear through that filter from then on. And we fail to recognize the good that person does. Even if we saw stuff that wasn't good, we can still see God moving in them. And often, when you feel tempted to sort of judge and criticize leaders, and I'm not saying that they're perfect by any means, you know, I'm still saying they do wrong things, but very often we can be tempted to judge and be critical of those who are in leadership. Let's just ask ourselves, I'm seeing this, but if I'm seeing this, why is it that God hasn't asked me to do that then? And very often, it's the very fact that we are being critical of authority is the very thing that's causing us not to be released into a position of authority. Because you never stop being in submission to authority. So if you haven't learnt the lesson at this level, it's very difficult for God to give you more responsibility over others, because the only way to have authority is to be in submission to authority. Read up about the centurion in the Gospels. That will outline that more clearly. We don't have time for that. Go and search it. Go and dig it out. Go and see. If that's one of those things, like Claire was saying, there's more in that, take it away. There's always more. All right? But we have to feed on it. Sometimes people, you know, they're struggling with things and they're going through stuff and they're saying, oh, I don't really get much out of the worship anymore. And you say to them, well, how much of this are you reading? Well, no, I don't really read my Bible. Well, you're starving then. That's why there's pain. Spiritual pain in you because you're not feeding on what will take away the pain. So after the wall had been rebuilt, Nehemiah doesn't allow the intimidation to stop him. And it says in chapter 7. Don't worry if you're not normally here. It's a bit of an in-joke. My apologies. After the wall had been rebuilt, this is chapter 7, I had set the doors in place, and the gatekeepers and the singers and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hananiah, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity. He's putting leadership in practice. He's putting people in their places. People are stepping up into the new responsibility within the community. And you can't have community without people that make community happen. You know, I thank God for faithful people like Michelle and Martin Grant. Now, that he won't like me mentioning him. But so often, week after week, they're some of the last people to leave because they're hoovering and they're stacking chairs. Nobody ever gave them that job. They do it because they want to serve the community. These don't go out by accident. And they don't get put away by accident. We don't have anybody to do that job. It's just our job. You know, nobody is particularly assigned to clean the toilets. But there are some, including Kate, that come and clean the toilets. And clean the stairs and clean everything else. As I was talking earlier, there's so many things that have to go on to give us a warm, safe, comfortable place to encounter God on a Sunday. And people like Martin and Michelle, they don't like me drawing attention to them like this because they just want to get on and be served. And that is a fabulous attitude. That is the attitude that we could call is godly. I will serve and I don't care if I'm not noticed. In fact, in Martin's case, I don't want to be noticed. He's almost got up and left at this point. So I will stop now, Martin, probably. And so everything is put in place, and it says this in verse 4, and I like this. Let's take this as a word for ourselves. Now, the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it. This is a large and spacious place, but compared to what we want to be, there are few people in it. We may be probably the largest congregation in Scarborough, but we're not measuring ourselves to Scarborough. We're measuring ourselves to a world population, which means we're quite a few. You know, there's many more people in Scarborough that need to know the Lord. I want to see all the congregations of Scarborough growing and flourishing. But we have a particular responsibility for our own because we have something good to share. I mean, it's exciting. There's so many people... Nearly every week, and it is nearly every week, there's somebody else amongst us that comes to know Jesus. We've seen so many new Christians. It's exciting to see. It's brilliant. But I'm always hungry to see more because the people are few and the place is spacious. You know, and if we fill this place on a Sunday, we'll have two Sunday services. Be fine. We can do it. We can do all things in Christ. Amen. It'll be an exciting day when we realize we're going to go to two services. We can't get everybody in one. You know, that's what I want to see that. And not just growing here, but that we can plant congregations in other places. But, you know, and maybe we're not growing so quickly here because there's people being sent out all over the place from here. Remember, we're a sending church. It's not about building our church anyway. It's about seeing the kingdom built. We need a kingdom attitude of seeing the church grow. I was having a chat with somebody this week who was feeling a little bit troubled that they were serving a lot in a couple of our other Anglican churches, and they were really enabling stuff to happen, and they were feeling a bit guilty. Should I be doing more in Kingdom Faith? And I said, no, we're building kingdom. Let's rejoice that you've got that opportunity with those two churches. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Go and serve them. Amen. I don't get cross that Claire works at the Rainbow Centre. Which is, you know, another Anglican. What is it with us and Anglicans? And she's serving there as others serve there. It's about building the kingdom. It's about seeing the name of Jesus made famous. It's about seeing the kingdom grow. And when we're doing these things, Jesus says, I will build my church. Yeah? I'm not interested in having a big church because we need a big church and I need to be a rich, powerful senior pastor. No. I just want to see people saved, and I want to see people healed, and I want to see families restored. And I know that's your heart, and that's why it's exciting being part of this. Okay, I've got 3 minutes. So do I start the message that I've got here? Oh, well. So the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it. And what he does, and we will leave it with this, so it's a bit of a lead into when I speak next, really, because isn't it strange then, you've got a whole section of this book of Nehemiah, a whole section of this precious book, where it lists people, the people that were there. For example, this bit of list. This is the list of the men of Israel, the descendants of Parosh, 2,172. Of Shephathiah, 372. Of Arar, 652. Of Paheth Moab, through the line of Yeshua and Joab, 2,818. Of Elam, 1,254. And there's this long, long list of family names and numbers. And you sort of think, what? Why is that there, really? We don't need that much detail. But the thing is, with God, it's not like the world. Every one of those 2,818 of the family of Pahath Moab were important. And every one of them had role and purpose if they choose to take it. So often, the only reason we don't have purpose or something to do is because we don't do. We choose not to. Or we don't ask. We don't find out. Or when we do find out, we think, no, I didn't mean that. I wanted something with a bit. We would never say it, but we kind of thought, well, I thought I might get something with a bit more glory. You know? Something that would be a bit more noticed. But actually, it's when we put our hands to doing the things that are unnoticed that God can actually use us. The person who today cleans the toilets has got more opportunity or more scope to become the person that leads this church than the person that only reads the Bible. Interesting thought, isn't it? Because it's got to be expressed in how we serve one another. And the other reason, and this is what we'll go on to next time, so I'm finishing with this, just to leave you with something. Maybe you can investigate it yourself and see what you get. See if we agree next week. I'll give you the passage. Or the next time I preach, I'll give you a passage I'm going to preach from. Which would also be a miracle if I know that this far in advance. But one of the reasons you see this list of people is because they are, and this is the Old Testament, so they're Jewish, these are the chosen people. And Jerusalem, the building and the guarding of the presence of God, could only be done by God's chosen people. And these were the people that knew they were chosen and said, yes, I will come and help. Yes, I will come and do it. I am one of the chosen people. And so they got on and they did it. They didn't work for salary or acceptance or affirmation or even self-fulfillment. They just knew, I'm one of the chosen. This is what I'm part of. This is what I'm called to do. And so they got on and helped make Jerusalem happen by what they did, some of which was building their own homes. It's not that it's just about painting the walls in the church building. I'm not talking that narrowly, but it's about enabling community. It's about enabling things to happen. And so the chosen people rebuilt it. And it's the same with us. As we guard this presence of God that's amongst us, as we build our community, we have to know we're part of the chosen people. And where we will go to next, just to affirm that, is in 1 Peter. So if you want to do it in advance and have a look and see what you get, because that can be quite fun, what do you get out of it? And then when I speak it, you say, yeah, I got that. Or you'll say, I got something extra. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. So let's finish with 1 Peter 2 verses 4 and 5. Not preaching from them particularly, but just leaving us with this scripture to go away and chew on. But you can read all of chapter 2. I'm particularly going to sort of speak up to verse 10, I think. That's what I'm thinking at the moment. The Holy Spirit could overrule all of this. So if next week you come and I'm speaking from the Gospel of John, we just do what the Holy Spirit says. And I've got a number of things I want to share with you. And that's this week I'm going on retreat just to spend some time in the Word. I'm going this afternoon for a few days. And so all things could change. But this is what I have at the moment. So verse 4 says, as you come to him, that's Jesus, the living stone, who was rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then if you look on to verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Peter is taking directly from the Old Testament scriptures and saying, and now these apply to you. You have been grafted in to the people of God. And these promises that were once just for the chosen people show that you are now also part of these chosen people. Remember, Peter wasn't saying you've got it instead. He was Jewish himself. So we will look at us being the chosen people. And look at that lovely thing about you are a holy priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. And that's really important that we know that we are priests of God. And I'll tell you more about that when we come to why is that important? Why is it important for us to know we are a royal priesthood? Sounds a bit spiritual and a bit irrelevant to watching the BBC news, but it isn't. It's very, very relevant. Even to watching the news, even to having a cup of coffee somewhere. It's very, very relevant. It's part of who we are, and it's part of being chosen. Because as we said, if the wall is built, if we have this wall of word around us that we're using to protect the presence of God, it's now important that we build that community that is a people who are full of the presence of God. And that is what we're going on, and that's what we're looking at. And this is one of the keys that we've said this morning, that we know that we're chosen, but also that we take hold of the word that God gives us and put it into practice. Because by doing that, that's how we get fed, that's how we're strong, and that's how we're healthy. And we want to be strong and healthy spiritually and physically, don't we? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to finish there. If you want to respond to the word in any way, we're going to finish sort of this part of the service and let people go, because with all the extras we've run slightly on anyway. But if you want to respond, so say you've got sickness in your body that you know the word says you're healed and you want someone to stand with you, both of you as priests, not just because they're the leader, to see your body change by the word, because that's what the word does, then we can do that at the end. Or if you've been thinking, how do I become part of this? Well, the answer is you become part of this, truly part of this, by surrendering your life to Jesus. Everyone's welcome, even those who haven't. But if you really want to take hold of what Jesus has for you, you have to surrender to him. You become a Christian. That song that said, I'm born again. You become born again. You start again with God. You turn from the old, you turn to the new. If that's you, come and see the man with the umbrellas on his shirt afterwards, and I'll talk to you. If you're coming for healing, well, you can talk to the person next to you, or you can talk to somebody you can see here on the front row, and they will stand with you and say, well, the word says that you are healed by the very wounds that Jesus took on the cross, and the very wounds that whipped Jesus you are healed by. So we expect your body to line up with the word of God and for this healing to be manifest in your body. So you just stand together. and it changes. Have an awesome, awesome week. As I said, I'm escaping on retreat until Thursday. So have a fabulous time and see you all Thursday if you come in Thursday night. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.